Well, South Korea says its government is working closely with the US on a potential military contribution to the war in Iran. That comes after US President Donald Trump ordered a reduction in joint military exercises with South Korea earlier this week. He cited a good relationship with North Korea's leader and also South Korea's refusal to join the US war against Iran behind the action. On his Truth Social platform, he posted memes and AI-generated images of himself with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Pressed on this by reporters, Mr. Trump said he'd been in touch with his counterpart.
Why hasn't Kim Jong-un responded to your request to have a conversation?
How do you know he hasn't responded?
Has he?
Yeah, he has. Kim Jong-un has always treated me with great respect, and we met on numerous occasions, actually, two primary occasions. I understand him. He understands me.
That's US President Donald Trump. Robert Kelly is a professor of political science at Pusan National University in Korea and joins me now. Professor, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
These comments from the US president highlighting his personal relationship with the North Korean leader and drawing down the number of US forces for joint military operations with South Korea, how out of step is this with conventional policy for the US in Korea?
Yeah, pretty far, right? I mean, no other American president has ever met a North Korean leader. That was something that Trump did, of course. And that in itself isn't a bad thing. But I mean, Trump kind of screwed it up and didn't get anything out of it. But, you know, nobody else had ever done that anymore, in part because, you know, North Korea's, you know, basically our model sense of a totalitarian tyranny. And no other president has ever talked this way about a North Korean leader, sort of calling him his friend and like a nice guy and stuff like that. The North Korean elite is not nice. They're bloodthirsty tyrants who've put hundreds of thousands of people in concentration camps and killed millions over the years. I mean, the North Korean elite, these are basically the worst people in the world if you read the human rights literature on North Korea. And so it's always really awkward when Donald Trump says this. That's why there's been so much media coverage of it, because, I mean, you know, and they're also not friends, right? I mean, by any kind of normal sense of that statement, they've only met for 5 hours in a diplomatic setting, you know, at the couple conferences, and they haven't seen each other since 2019. I'm not sure by anybody's sort of traditional sense of friendship that that would count, but, you know, the president says these things, so it's hard to know what he thinks.
So, Robert, tell us more about the reaction from South Korea. Are they now looking at providing some sort of military contribution to the conflict with Iran?
Yeah, so this is sort of floating around. I would be surprised if much comes of it. And I'm happy to go into the details about sort of like South Korea's constraints here. But I mean, you know, the South Koreans are aware that the U.S. alliance is pretty important, that, you know, if the U.S. military wasn't here, South Korea's defense budget would be much, much larger. And that's one of the pressure points that Trump's always banging away at. So, you know, if there's some kind of like formal request or something like that, then I suppose South Korea might participate. But the South Korean government put out yesterday a couple statements saying that it had not, reminding everyone that the U.S. had never actually formally approached it about participation in the conflict. You know, that's something that South Korea would need some lead time on. You know, force generation for South Korea on the other side of the planet, you know, when Persian Gulf's pretty far away from Northeast Asia, that would be really hard for South Korea. It's not impossible, but, you know, the South Korean Navy's not very large. South Korea is primarily a land power because of the size of the North Korean army. And so it's not really apparent how South Korea would participate in this, right? I mean, they're not just going to like sail into the middle of the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, I think they can't. I mean, that would be extraordinarily difficult, and they're not going to do that for the same reason. Nobody else wants to do it. And so it's not really clear to me what Trump wants. I think what he's really doing is blame shifting because the war has gone poorly.
Mm. How is all this being digested by the public in South Korea?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, at this point, I think with a lot of U.S. allies, it's kind of like, you know, there's always kind of like a Trump discount built into his commentary. I mean, is that even a word, right? But, you know, the president has a tendency to like shoot his mouth off on social media and say all kinds of outlandish stuff. You know, everybody sees all this AI stuff he puts on, you know, where he's like Trump is Jesus Christ and things like that. So, I mean, I think to a certain extent, you know, I'm just sort of looking at like some of the Korean news services I use for work, and they're all just kind of not talking about it much because nobody knows if it's real. You know, nobody knows if Trump means this or if he's just shooting his mouth off and he's going to be distracted by something else in a couple days. You know, so it's tricky. But I mean, the medium term problem is the same thing I think U.S. allies around the world have faced, you know, Canada and the Europeans and stuff, is that, you know, Trump doesn't really seem to like U.S. allies very much. And that's going to encourage all of them to start going their own way. Like in the South Korean context, for example, Trump's commentary constantly fuels the South Korean nuclearization debate. You know, South Korea's thought about getting nuclear weapons. And every time Donald Trump says stuff like this, that pushes those numbers up.
I wanted to ask you about that. Do you see parallels in the way in which Donald Trump is making comments to South Korea, to those that the threats and pushback against other members of NATO, European allies more generally?
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure you're next. I'm sure when Donald Trump talks about Australia, you know, he'll blame you for our defeat in Vietnam or something. I'm sure he'll figure out some way to, you know, I mean, Trump just, you know, it's very bizarre, right? I mean, he just doesn't care for liberal democracy and he doesn't seem to like U.S. liberal democratic allies. And that's very curious, right? I mean, it just doesn't fit into the U.S. post-war international tradition at all, right? I mean, Trump is an enormous outlier, which is why all U.S. allies are always kind of like, well, how do we respond to this guy? Because it's nothing like what we've had before. You know, Biden was very much a typical U.S. foreign policy president. Talks about the importance of democracy, standing together and standing up against tyranny and all that. You know, that's how the U.S. has talked for decades. And so I think Trump just really throws U.S. allies for a loop. And I think the longer term question, as I said before, is what kind of medium term drifting away from the U.S. will you get in response? You know, Canada is like, they're just like furious with us, right? You know, and in South Korea, the nuclearization debate is going to be, you know, spurred on by this. I would imagine that some European countries that don't have nuclear weapons, like Poland and Germany, will think about doing it themselves because nobody believes the U.S. is going to fight a nuclear war for them anymore. U.S. allies don't believe that under Trump. You know, I don't know. I'm just not really sure what the strategy here is. I'm not really sure what Trump is driving at with this kind of language.
They're not conversations a few years ago we could imagine we would be having, but here we are.
Yeah.
Robert Kelly, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.